Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here this morning. God, for the opportunity to come into this place to bring our best to you, to worship you, to acknowledge your greatness through song, to sit in your presence, listen to your voice and your word through prayer and through reading scripture, and God, to not just go through the motions of church, but to actually encounter you, to meet with you, to be changed by you, to hear a word from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would not just be present in this space and place, but you would also be present into our lives, reaching deep into our souls and our being, pointing out where you live within us, and encouraging us in that, filling us from the depths of our beings, that we would overflow into the world and we go out to it, where you would be glorified through our lives and honored by that. And so we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to worship and to gather together, and we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. I invite you to have a seat. And as you're doing so, I want to welcome you to worship this morning at Argyle Road Baptist Church. It is good to see you, and it's always interesting when I look out to see which side of the church is going to fill up first. And I know which door people walk in when that happens, but it is good to have you here. Welcome back to people who have been away, traveling and holidays. Welcome back. And for those of you who are new or relatively new visiting, welcome here this morning. If you look in the pew in front of you, you will see a card like this. And if there isn't one right in front of you, there will be one very close around you. Just steal somebody else's. It's okay. We don't mind about that here. Especially if you're visiting with us or relatively new, if you could fill this out for me, that would be awesome. And then later on when the offering plate goes by, just pop that in the offering plate for me so that I can have a record of your visit and some contact information, because I'd like to be able to get together with you for coffee or something down the road. That would be great. So if you need one, or there's not one in front of you, just grab one from around you. That'll be close to hand for that. I'm going to, at this time, invite the children to come up to the front, and as they're doing so, we're going to sing, "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High." This time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we continue to worship God through the giving of His tithes and our offerings. If you happen to have your bulletin handy, I invite you to take that out with me. There's just a few things that I want to highlight for you this morning. Just some neat stuff that's coming up in the life of our church. And most of it is the next couple weekends. On February 5th, we had our annual meeting. And at our annual meeting, we approved a new or an updated constitution and bylaws. Out of that constitution and bylaws, we now need to update and improve some of our policies and procedures. And if you're a part of a ministry area or any part of things that happen in the church, I'm going to be looking to you to be writing policies and procedures, or to help with the writing of policies and procedures for your ministry area. It's better for you to do it than for me to do it, because you know more about what you're doing than I do. And so that's what we want you to do. Now, recognizing that not all of us, and myself included, know how to write a policy or procedure, we are going to be offering a workshop for that this coming Saturday at 8:30 till 12:30. Oksana's going to be... Is Oksana here? Give a wave. That's Oksana. Oksana's going to be facilitating that for us. It's going to be good. So if you're wondering, how do I write a policy and procedure, this is a workshop for you. Please come here at the church this Saturday, 8:30 to 12:30. Then following on Sunday, this coming Sunday, we are going to have a special treat here this Sunday morning in the service. Gord King from Canadian Baptist Ministries and Canadian Food Grains Bank is going to be here speaking with us, sharing with us about the ministry that's going on there. And then we're also going to have a time of celebrating and giving some honor to one of our members who has been instrumental in organizing and getting this ministry off the ground and going. And you can read about that. So there's a light lunch following the service next Sunday. So do plan to come, attend, celebrate, and then join us for a light lunch afterwards, fellowshipping together following the service next Sunday. And then looking ahead on March 5th at 6:30, Bill and Janice Dick are going to be here to share with us about their next adventure in ministry life. They're long-time missionaries with CBM. They were in Indonesia, I believe, for the longest time, retired, and are now going back to the mission field in Bolivia. And they're starting that soon. And they wanted to come and just share with us about what's going on. Some of you would know Bill and Janice Dick from their previous years. And so they're going to be here March 5th, 6:30 here at the church. There's going to be some dessert and beverages as they share about what they're going to be doing as field staff in Bolivia. Sharon, you have something you want to share of exciting things that are happening as well. Is there going to be a cost to this, Sharon?
Sorry, yes, there is a cost. You can register online, or you can come to the door, but it's cheaper if you register online. It's $50 for the day, and that includes lunch if you're a member of Inscribe, or $60 if you're not.
So, there you go. So, $50 lunch, learning about writing, editing, managing time. Sounds like I need to be at this. Great, thanks. There's other things you can read about at your time on, in the bulletin, and I would invite you to do that at your leisure. This time I'm going to invite Oksana to come and read to us from God's Word. Inside your bulletin, you'll find a page marked Prayer Notes, and I would invite you to pull that out with me at this time. And what we do with this is we spend time in our service praying for one another and with one another, writing down prayer items of request and prayer items of praise that we can then take home with us, because you've got this handy piece of paper, to carry in your Bible, put on your fridge, or wherever it is that you'll be reminded to pray daily for one another here at our community of faith at Argyle Road Baptist Church. And if prayer is something that you're even more interested in than at home and doing, you say, I want to be more involved in what's going on prayer at Argyle Road Baptist Church, you can join us Wednesday nights here at the church, just meeting over in the library just over here, at 7:30 for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, depending on how prayer is going, to pray. Partly for the needs that we've got here that you've been writing down, but also other things that come to mind and are brought forth to that team of people who pray weekly for you and for God's work happening here at this church. And so just note that as we're going through. Things that we can be praying for specifically, at our annual meeting, we confirm and vote in new leaders for our church and ministry. Last week we were praying for our deacons leading us, and this week we want to pray for our finance committee. They have a big job of making sure that the resources that God gives to you, and that you then give back to God first through this church, are used well and wisely. And so they have a big job, and we want to pray for them as they do that. And so we pray for Wayne as he chairs, and Betty Ann Treasure, and Norm Freitag is looking after the weekly counting offering, and then Jen Gorella, she kind of keeps things together and making sure that we know how that you're recognized for the donations that you give through receipts and things like that as well. So pray for that finance committee. And then looking at our wider city, one of the things in Regina that doesn't happen well amongst pastors, and pastors that I talk to can't put a finger on it, is connecting and getting together and supporting and praying for one another. We don't know why, but in youth area, they're doing something about that. And youth ministers within Regina are meeting once a month. It's called the Regina Youth Ministerial, and they're actually going to meet this Wednesday morning is their next monthly meeting. And out of those meetings have come not only support and prayer for one another, but a high school program called D4. And the youth ministers are in every high school in the city on a regular basis, doing a noon hour with pizza. I mean, they come in loads of pizza and games and activities and Bible study in every single high school that's in the city. It came out of youth ministers getting together and meeting once a month. And so we want to pray for them. I met with one of the organizers just this last week, and he said, above all, please pray for unity amongst our youth pastors. And so that's what we want to pray for this week for Regina Youth Ministerial. And then under our world, we pray for our nation's leaders. Last Last week, Heather mentioned Motion 103, which has to do with some language around Islam. And so we want to pray for wisdom for our leaders around the decisions that they make that govern our country. And that's the best thing we can do for them, is to pray for them. Pray for what they have to do and all the voices that they hear, and to discern what is good for our country as a whole as they lead us. So we want to pray for them in that. Now, are there things on your hearts and minds this morning that we can be praying for or giving praise to God for alongside of you? Some weeks we have things, and some weeks we don't. And that's all right. I will allow time in our prayer time for you to bring things before the Lord in the quiet and stillness of your hearts. But let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to come before you in prayer. To know that we can get down on our knees or any point at any time in our day without any reason other than to just talk and listen to you, that you have made a way that we can do that. We don't have to go through forms. We don't have to go through ritual. We don't have to have someone else pray for us, although that's great when they do. God, because you want to know us, and you want us to know who you are. And so you tore the veil away. You got rid of the curtain, broke down all the barriers, that we can have that relationship with you, and we can have that communication with you. And I pray, Lord, that as we come in this moment, this morning, to you, that you would speak to us. That we would hear your voice in our minds, in our spirits. That we would understand more about you this morning. And in sharing our hearts with you, that we would catch glimpses of your heart as well. Father, we thank you so much for the people that you've put into leadership in our church. Thank you for the way that you have gifted them, that you have given them passion, that you have challenged them to invest in your people. And so we want to pray for them. And specifically this morning, Lord, we want to pray for our finance committee. Pray for the hard work that they have to do, and the diligent and careful work that they have to do in looking after the financial resources that you have given to this church and that you've entrusted us with. And so we pray for Wayne as he leads, and we pray for Betty Ann as she keeps track of all the numbers and the money coming in and coming out, and for Norm as he rallies people and team to come together and to on a weekly basis just make sure that things are accounted for well for your glory. And pray for Jen as well, as she just works in confidentiality to keep things straight, so that we can know where we're at in our accounting with you financially. And so, God, thank you for these people, and I pray that you would give them wisdom, and you would give them unity and voice and understanding, and you would give them a big picture of what you want to do with the resources that you've entrusted to this church. Father, we thank you for the work of the Regina Youth Ministerial. Thank you for Jordan and all of those who are leading in that group, who are faithfully meeting once a month to pray for youth in this city. Thank you for the doors that you've opened in the high schools, that these youth pastors, crazy individuals, can get into a high school and have time with kids going to where they're at in their space. Lord, thank you for that. We pray that there would be fruit seen from that. And Father, as Jordan shared this week with me, Lord, we pray for unity amongst the youth pastors, that it wouldn't be competitions about whose program's best or who's got kids coming or not, but that it would be that as one, they would be desiring to see young people in this city come to know who you are and have their lives changed for you as a result of that. And so we pray for them, pray for their families, we pray for their ministries, pray for their churches. We just pray for them, Lord, that you would bless them in all of that. Father, we thank you that you have given us a country that we can live in, that we are able to vote, that we are able to have an opinion, and not just have an opinion, but we can express it. And we can write to our leaders, and we can go to their office, the MLA's office or whatever, and have an audience, have an ear, that our voices do matter. Thank you, God, for allowing that privilege for us. But God, we also recognize that our leaders, that our prime minister and the MLAs and the Senate and all the people who are in political leadership in our country have an immense responsibility. It is not just my voice that they need to listen to. It is every single Canadian's voice. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. And you would give them balance in their lives. That you would give them a perspective of vision to be able to see and hear all the different voices that clamor and demand attention and want their way. Lord, that they would see through all of that to the big picture of what is best for this country and for all the people who live in it. Lord, I pray that we would be gracious in our communication with our leaders, and that we would be supportive of them. And above all, that you would remind us to pray regularly for them. And so we ask for your hand in that. And God, I know that there are things in our hearts and mind this morning that we didn't share, and that's okay. There are things that you bring to mind even as we pray that we weren't aware of, and that's good too. Lord, I pray that in these moments of silence and stillness before you, that you would hear those things. And you would remind us of those things. And you would assure us that you are in control of what's going on. And so we pray in these moments. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know our voice. And when we turn our hearts, we turn our minds and our words to you, that you hear them. You are listening. We do not get put on hold. We do not have to leave a message and hope that you'll call back. God, that you are present with us at every moment. And Lord, as much as you know our voice and we share with you, Lord, I pray that we would become a people who know and recognize your voice as well. And in knowing and recognizing your voice, we would listen to you. And in listening to you, we would open our eyes to see your hand at work in this world around us. And as we see your hand at work, as we see you present in our communities and our families, and the things that are happening, the answers to prayer, Lord, I pray that we would give you praise and honor in that. And we would look and say, wow, look at this that God has done. Instead of, oh, look, what a great coincidence. This worked out. How nice. But God, that you would be honored in that. And that in seeing your hand at work, seeing your heart in action, we would come to know you even deeper and better. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. And we leave them all at your throne and in your hands and care. And we pray in your Son's name. Amen. The second scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Paul writes these words. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But as I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together one more time as we come to meditate on God's word. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our ears this morning. Open our hearts to hear your voice. That we would be challenged, God, and that you would be honored. And so we give our time and our space and ourselves and our spirit to you this morning. Teach us, for we're listening. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'm not sure if you've noticed it or not, but we live in a culture, in our culture here, that is, and I would use the phrase here a little bit, obsessed almost with the impact that one person has on another. And you wonder, what am I getting at with that? Well, you look at the advertising that goes on. You look at some of the messages that come across, the words that we hear, the hype that happens. Does this sound familiar? Dress to impress, right? Are you familiar with that? Always be yourself, unless you can be Batman. In which case, then always be Batman. Is that the dress to impress? If you've heard people say, dress for the job you wish that you want to have, not the job that you do have. In your workplace? What about the phrase, make your mark? Go out and make your mark on the world around you. Your mark. There's a lot of these sorts of phrases that go on, and the point of all of these things, the measure of all of this is, how memorable can you be in any given situation? Did you walk into a meeting or into an encounter or wherever sort of thing and walk away leaving an impression of yourself that whoever it is not going to forget? Well, I nailed that interview because they're never going to forget me. Because I went in dressed as Batman. Maybe not the best impression. But you know what I'm getting at? Do you feel and do you hear what I'm saying? The point is, did I get noticed for me? Did someone stand up and say, wow, there was Ryan. I was in this meeting with him, and he was fantastic and awesome, and I'm never going to forget Ryan and just how good he absolutely is. And I mean, I can't help it, people. That's what happens. But there's a spotlight that becomes more important than the reputation of a person. Is it the moment in the spotlight, my time in the light, my time, is more important than perhaps my reputation that I possibly sacrificed to get to this place. I fought, I clawed, I won. I played soccer with in my younger days, and we in the youth zone soccer thing, and everybody got a little trophy. Or a medal for participating. And I remember one particular year, we were bad. I mean, we were bad as a team. It was horrible. And so we didn't get the good big trophies. We just got the little, congratulations, you actually showed up trophy. And I think they were not sure about giving us that trophy. We were so bad that year. And I remember standing there as a team and I'm thinking, this is right this season off. And Aaron is a much taller guy than I, and the confidence of just amazing confidence this guy stands up and he goes up as a kid, gets his trophy, and he turns and he faces the parents that were assembled, the crowd and the people that were there, because it's a big wind up thing, and he stands up and he says, I'd like to thank all the little people I stepped on to get this award. And I think, A, that's just really funny, but B, this is the point. How many people have you stepped on, pushed aside to get to where you are? right? So that I am noticed. Now, we've been talking a lot this last several weeks, 5 weeks, and we skipped one in the middle there when I was away, about the stuff in our lives, our resources, our items, our money, our talents, our abilities, and so on and so forth, that God has given us in this life. And central to all of these discussions, central to all of these ideas is this concept that we have been entrusted to God. Stuff has been entrusted to us by God, and He is paying close attention to what we do with that. And for many of us, if we're honest, many of us, if we did an assessment, we really haven't handled what God has given us well. You know, we can probably look back and say, man, I did not do a good job of handling this, whatever it is that God gave me, well. Maybe used it for my personal gain well, but did I use it as God's accounting well? And part of that is reflected in the possessive nature that we have. These are my things. My car, my house, my stuff, my Lego, my puzzles, my whatever it is, and no one else's. And don't touch it, it's mine. Which isn't right. It's God's. He gives it to us in trust to do something with in so many ways. Part of it is reflected in the fact that we don't necessarily choose to utilize the abilities and talents that God has given us, or perhaps we don't choose to use them to further His agenda. We do to further our own agenda. Part of this reflection on not handling what God has given us well is in our bank accounts and our spending habits. If we looked at a couple of three weeks ago, I said, you know, if we had the ability to put on the screen your bank, your monthly budget, would you be pretty happy about people seeing that? Not the total dollar at the end, but the how you spend it out. I said, no, we wouldn't be. I certainly wouldn't want people to see that, because it speaks to some of our priorities of how we invest with God, what we do with the money that God has given us. And in short, all of this put together, the stuff that we have and the pursuit of getting more of it becomes more important than God who gave it to us. And last week we looked at the idea that God gives to us what we need. He provides for us what we need. And a couple of weeks ago we looked at the idea of debt is the idea that we don't believe God, what God's provision for us is enough, and we go out and make a way to provide for ourselves. That's debt. Not trusting that God is doing enough for us. And God says, I will always do enough for you. I will always provide for you. The problem isn't, is there enough provision? The problem is how we define provided for. And so all of these things work together to change our perspective. And as we've wrestled with these ideas, I've wanted to change our perspective, change our position on how we treat the stuff that we have in this world and what we then do with it. And if we can shift our focus from thinking this is my stuff and I've got to hold on to it or I'm going to lose it all, and my value, my worth is built up in how much of this I've stored up and how much of it I have and all of that, I've wanted us to shift our perspective to say these are God's things that He's entrusting to us. Now, what do we do with that? And today I want to wrap our series up by looking at this. What does this all mean? And how does this look when we look in the space of eternity? What does it matter beyond the 80, 90, or 100? I come from a long-lived family. I'm probably going to get 100. Sorry. Years that I have on earth. Beyond this. What is the big picture thing? The point of my message this morning is essentially it's on investing. I could have titled it, instead of calling it the stuff of life, or sowing the seeds, I should say, I could have called it in investing in the kingdom. But I like sowing the seeds. It's a slightly different concept and language, but the idea is the same. And I'm not talking about Warren Buffett kind of investing, but I'm talking about investing in the kingdom of God. I'm talking about this wealth of resources that we have been given to use for God's purpose and glory, not for our own gain. Warren Buffett gave $30 billion to the Bill Gates Foundation for whatever they could do with it, and it was greatly celebrated, and that's a fantastic gift. But let's be honest, Warren Buffett was giving $30 billion to the Bill Gates Foundation so that Warren Buffett could get recognized. That was behind it. We don't think we are qualified, or we don't think we have time, or we can't see immediate results in investing in God's kingdom, and so we don't do a good job of it. And there's an endless number of excuses and justifications that we have for not using what we do have to build God's kingdom. And we can be really, really good at coming up with those excuses. So-and-so is going to be much better at that than I am. I couldn't possibly, because I don't know enough, or I don't have the time, or, well, they're much better suited, or we can come up with them so easier. The problem isn't can we do it or not do it. The problem isn't how much stuff do we have. The problem in the whole thing is that investing in God's kingdom has ceased to be a priority for God's people. Cease to be a priority for God's people. And like, whether we like it or not, our actions, our deeds, our words, our lives will make an investment in God's kingdom. And that investment may fizzle and die, or it may be great. But there will be an impact. For we do not live in a bubble, and we do not live in isolation. Now Paul, in his letter to the Galatians that Oksana read for us earlier, is very clear. He says that God is not fooled by how we react with our investments, what we do with that. He is keeping a tally of how we are using what he has given, and there is a return on that investment. And the ROI, using this is all I know about finances, is ROI, that's it. You've now tapped my knowledge out. Isn't measured in index percentage points, but rather in the legacy that our lives will produce. Now, I'm not talking about the legacy that Donald Trump is going to be leaving behind. I'm not talking about the legacy that Warren Buffett is going to be leaving behind to himself. I'm talking about the legacy of God's kingdom being built that is left behind. That is how the return on Jesus' investment, on God's investment, is measured, on our investment in God's kingdom is measured. Now, Paul uses agricultural language, because that's, a lot of the people he's talking to have that idea. And so rather than saying we're investing as a financial sort of thing, we're sowing seeds. We're planting. And if you take seed and you put it into the ground and you step on it and walk away, you might maybe get a plant out of it. Maybe. But if you take that seed, same seed, and you put it in the ground, and you carefully put the soil over top of it, not too firm, just enough, so that's safe. And then you water it, and then you put some fertilizer on it, and you pull the weeds and chase away the crows and do all those sorts of things to what you invest. That plant will grow. Even if you don't have a green thumb, that plant will grow, and it will produce more seeds than what it started with. Right? That's just how growth works. Now we can put in the ground, we can sow good seeds and we can sow bad seeds. We can take the best of the seeds that we've got and put them in the ground and say, this is going to grow, it's going to be beautiful, the plant's going to be huge, and everybody's going to get to enjoy this, it's going to be wonderful. Or we can put bad seeds in the ground and say, I'm keeping these good ones for myself, because someday I might want good seeds, and the ground can have my bad seeds, and we can go out and say, why are there only 5 carrots and 3 peas in my 5 acres of garden? It's because we put the bad seeds in, instead of putting the good seeds in the ground. The language that Paul is using, the image that he's trying to get us to wrap our heads around, get his readers to wrap their heads around, is that our lives are those seeds. The words we use, the actions we take, the things that we do with our stuff, how we live our lives is the seeds. And there's a crop that will happen. There will be a return on that investment. The question is, will it be great and beautiful and healthy, or will it be sad and sickly and diseased? And that's part of how we work and invest. And he uses the idea of life. He uses the phrase of spiritual life. Our investments is in spiritual life, not in stuff, not in having things, but in the legacy of people who come to Christ, whose lives are changed, built into coming after us. That's the investment. That's sowing the seeds. And Paul says, if we sow seeds well, he says, if you live to please the Spirit, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And he's not talking about if I live pleasing, my life will be a spiritual harvest. If you choose to be obedient to God, if you choose to do what he says and to live in such a manner that he is honored and glorified, that then lives will be changed for him. And my little impact in the world, the 5 people that I have impacted in my life, say, will multiply beyond myself. And I may never see that, but we'll get to that in a minute. And it will give us a return on our investment that is so much, that is lasting. We may not be guaranteed to own the fanciest cars or houses, but we will be storing up, Scripture tells us, a treasure in heaven, where it will matter. So what are the seeds that we are supposed to be sowing? What does it look like to invest in God's kingdom? Because really, that's the practical thing. It's a nice story, Ryan. It's great that we're going to do this and be farmers, but what does that look like? How do I do that on a daily basis? How do I live that out? And the short answer is, what does it look like to invest in God's kingdom? It looks like living. It's life. It's all it is. Our seeds are life. And it's not just going through the motions of living, but every day that I interact with someone, I am planting something. I'm either speaking words of encouragement or I'm speaking words of discouragement, but I'm speaking words. They're going to be one or the other. They're going to build up or they're going to tear down. People are going to see my actions and they're going to say, wow, there's something different over here. Or they're going to say, wow, there's something kind of the same over there. I cannot live in isolation in the bubble. And so the seeds that we sow are marked by our lives. And our lives as Christians are marked by forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And we do not provide this life for others. We do not determine the measure of another person's relationship with God. We can't do that. I can't look at you and say, all right, now if I divide the room, you guys have a really good relationship with God. You guys, sorry. I know these things because I'm the pastor. No, I don't have that. That's God's job. But our job is to simply sow these seeds, to place a deposit, to invest in the people around us. We can invest in things. We can invest in buildings. We can invest in programs. But ultimately, it is through building into, investing into, planting seeds of Jesus into people's lives that we see a return on that investment. That a harvest is made. That we will reap what we sow. It says, "We'll harvest everlasting life." So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith, Paul says. The building is great, but the building will crumble. But we believe that we have an eternal spirit, and in that eternity, that we will spend eternity either with God or without God. And how we navigate our lives in this world, in this day, will impact eternity, or has the potential to impact eternity for someone else. So Paul, as I just read there, says that sowing life is simply done through good deeds. I think, well, it's got to be more than just good deeds, because a lot of people are doing good deeds. But does it need to be? Does it need to be more than actually showing kindness to someone else, to loving someone else, to showing that someone else is valuable? Seeing other people as God sees them? Viewing people through the same measure of value that God views them, and then act accordingly? It can be as small as offering a smile or an encouraging word when others are not doing that. Or it can be as great as intentionally carving out regular time to mentor and build into, yes, invest in someone else's life with purpose to seeing them grow and deepen in their faith and everywhere in between. The question isn't, what are you doing? The question in that is, God, is, are people seeing Jesus through your life and those actions? Paul, it can be offering hospitality. It can be blessing someone through the gift of song or a talent or ability. Perhaps it's just practicing the art of being present. Just being present, just there. Maybe at those points in time when no one else is. So many different ways. But Paul does not qualify what the good deed is, just that those things will reap a harvest, either good or bad. So how do we know when God wants us to invest what he has entrusted with us? How do we know this? How do we know when this is a moment of investing opportunity? Well, the only way to know that is to ask God. We talked about the second week of the series several weeks ago. We talked about putting God first with our finances and taking that top first fruits and giving it to God as a sign of obedience, understanding that it's his, and we're going to give them back to God because it's his anyways, and trust that he will provide for us for the rest. This is the next step in that. This is not only just giving back to God, but also going to God and saying, okay, God, here's all the things that you've given to me. What do you want me to do with them? Show me today who I should be investing in. Show me today what action I should take. Show me today who I should give an extra monetary blessing to, or help with this, or come alongside and encourage or offer to whatever the case may be. God, how do you want me to invest your stuff? God, how do you want me to invest my life that's following you in others? Take time at the beginning of each day to ask God to guide you, to show you when and where to act. Ask him to open your eyes to the opportunity for a good deed investment. And then, after asking for God to show you these things, rely on him for the courage to actually do it. Oh God, you want me to talk to that person over there? That's great. Okay, absolutely. Not happening. But I listened, I heard you, but we need to act on it too. And sometimes that means doing things that we're not comfortable with. It's out of our comfort zone, but we need God's strength and courage to do that, and he will provide it for you. We have several opportunities for investing, for sowing seeds right here in our church. You could come alongside someone learning English at our Saturday English class. There's no pressure to share the gospel. There's no pressure to have all the right answers. What it is coming alongside and sharing language that you know with someone who doesn't. Just to help. To invest in their lives. That's it. We had 2 and a bit pews of kids sitting up here. And I'll be honest, it looks really empty after these kids kind of leave out. That are longing for people to invest in them, to build them up, to speak into their lives, to come alongside and say, let me show you how these things work. And in showing you how these things work, give them a glimpse of how God works in their lives, that they can understand that. And I guarantee you, if you invest in young people, they will be investing back in you, and you will learn things from them that you never thought you could. Kids are frightening, and they are awesome all at the same time. You could take on a role of investing in our church, visiting people, greeting at the doors, praying for one another. All these things are in ways that you can invest. Just, you're right here in our church. The only limitation to how you invest and where you can invest and how much you can invest is what you put on it. That's the only limitation. And so the question is, where is God wanting to see you at work? And are you following him with that? One final note, and I think it's worth spending just a little bit of time as I wrap things up for this morning on it. We don't always get the privilege of seeing the fruit from our efforts. We don't always get to see the privilege of seeing the plant fully grown, that we have carefully prepared the soil, and we've carefully put that seed in there, and if we have watered it, and we've cared for it, and we've talked to it, nice plant, good job, and all the things to see it grow, and it's becoming nice, and the blossoms are there, but then something, we don't get to see the fruit. And that can be discouraging. I spent so much time, God, investing in this person, and I didn't see anything out of it. I spent so much time, God, building into these kids, and they're still running around like crazy people. I spent so much time, God, and I don't see anything out of it. God says, that's okay. You don't need to see that right now in this life. This is eternal stuff. You will see that fruit in heaven. You will see the result of that in heaven. People may move. People may come back. People may change. Yours is not to get to pick the fruit all the time. You'll get to pick the fruit of someone else's investment, to see that harvest happen. God makes it all happen in his space and when he needs. Your task, our task, is to plant that seed, to make that investment, to sow words and deeds of life. Our reason for investment is not so that we can get the return. Our reason for investment is so that God's kingdom is built and grown. Don't give up because you don't see fruit. In Philippians that I just read, Paul very clearly tells his people to persevere to the end of the race that God has started you on. And not just to persevere to the end of the race that God has started you on, but to look forward to the prize at the end. Not the prize that you got for stepping on people, but the prize that you got for being obedient to God and investing in people. What a wonderful prize that will be. As we take the stuff that God has given us in our lives and we turn it around, not for our benefit, but to invest in his kingdom, in his glory, in his purpose. That is what it's all about. Sowing seeds that are of life. Not for us, but life for others. And God will smile down on that and he'll say, well done. You have been entrusted with little and I will entrust you with more. Good job. And as we heard in the very first message that we gave, the the wealthy individual is left three people in charge of his stuff. And he goes away and he comes back and he says, what have you done with it? And the first guy says, he gave me five and I went and put it to work and worked hard, and here's ten. And he says, what does God say out of that? Let's celebrate. He doesn't say fantastic, go keep doing it again. He says, let's celebrate. You did what I asked you to do. That's awesome. Let us celebrate with God together as we build in His kingdom, not in ours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given to entrusting us with your stuff. And not just the stuff that we have, that stuff, but entrusting us with your message, with words, with people, entrusting us with